In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami explains in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that it is an essential Vaishnava principle in a very wonderful way to celebrate the various festivals that the previous acharyas have given us. Why do we celebrate these festivals? We celebrate to create unity amongst one another, exclusively for the purpose of expressing our desire to love and to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how do we celebrate these festivals? Guru Maharaj explained that various festivals may have certain details, but essentially we celebrate all festivals by having wonderful kirtan, by discussing Krishna katha, and by having Krishna's prasadam. If you notice, every festival is essentially the same. Kirtan, Krishna katha, and prasadam. We never want to change that. It is an eternal lila. It is the eternal activities of the spiritual world. Kevala ananda kanda. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. Nithai Gaur Premanandi! Nithai Gaur Premanandi! Nithai Gaur Premanandi! Sri Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki! Sometimes there's different preparations for the feast. Sometimes some various songs in the kirtan. And on each day we discuss the particular relevance of how Krishna is manifesting his supreme opulence to us on that particular occasion. Today is one of the most beautiful and wonderful festivals of the year in Vrindavan Dham. All of the temples make luxurious arrangements on this day by decorating the altar with beautiful flowers, by singing for the deities, and often by bringing the deities on procession throughout the streets. Since we're not in Vrindavan forest, we chose to find that little grove of trees because, after all, we're going out not for our pleasure, but for the pleasure of Radha Gopinath. So that was the closest atmosphere I could find to Vrindavan Dham, in the groves of banyan and peepal trees, and in the moonlit forest. And actually, when Radha Gopinath and their devotees are chanting, tonight Chopati Beach became Bridge Bhumi. It became the forests around Govardhan Hill. Srimad Bhagavatam describes the beautiful pastimes of Radha Krishna. In the 10th canto, Sri Shukadev Goswami especially explains in chapters 29 through 33 the wonderful pastimes of the Raslila, which are very esoteric, very confidential, and only very purified, advanced devotees who have no material desires can understand them in truth. In various Puranas, Srimati Radharani's name is directly and specifically explained. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, we do not find even one time Sri Radharani's name being spoken. It is spoken indirectly. In one verse, it is explained, Aradhito, Ayana Radhito, which means the most best of all the gopis who worships Krishna supremest above all others. Sometimes people ask, why in other Puranas Radharani's name is directly mentioned, but in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the topmost important of all Puranas, it is not. Every other Purana is tinged with Jnana Kanda, Karma Kanda, and Yoga Kanda, Artha Kama Dhamma Moksha. It is only Srimad Bhagavatam of all the Vedic literatures which is Amalam Puranam, spotless, pure, without any tinge of material pursuits. The great Acharyas explain it in this way, that whenever Srila Shukadeva Goswami speaks, Vyasadeva writes, Sri Shuka Uvacha. Now, Kavi Karnapur, a great associate of Lord Chaitanya, in his Ananda Vrindavan Champu, explains who this Sri Shuka Dev Goswami is. Shriya Shuka Uvacha. Shuka means parrot. And whose parrot? Sri's parrot. The parrot of Sri. And who is Sri? Srimati Radharani. Just like if you go to Barasana, the most popular name of Sri Radharani is Sriji. And the temple on Hanugar is called Sriji Mandir. And Kavi Karnapur explains how in Vrindavan, Srimati Radhika, she had a pet parrot. And Shukadev Goswami was previously this parrot. And this little parrot used to sit on the left finger of Sri Radhika Rani's hand, and with her right hand she would feed this parrot the seeds of pomegranate fruits. And she would very affectionately pet her beloved parrot, Shuka, and she would say, Bolo Krishna Krishna, Bolo Krishna Krishna. And Shuka would say, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And parrots have a special empowerment that they can imitate exactly the sound of the voice of the person who tells to speak. So when he would say Krishna Krishna, the sound would be identical to Srimati Radharani's voice. And she would become very happy. In this way, Shuka became dear, dear, loving pet of Sri Radhika. One time, Shuka flew to Nandagaon. And at Nandagaon, he came to the little garden where Krishna was sitting, and he started saying, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And his voice was identical to Radharani's voice. So this very much attracted the mind of Krishna. So he began to pet the parrot and say, oh, you are so nice. Where have you come from? Who are you? And Shuka said, actually, I am from Barasana. I am the favorite of Sri Radhika Rani. And I am so unfortunate that I have left her to come here. At that time, Lalita and Vishaka, they were searching and they saw Srimati Radharani's parrot in Krishna's hand. And they said, why you give us? This is Radharani's parrot. Why you have taken? And Krishna said, I will not give back to you. If it's actually your parrot, you call it and see if it comes. And they were calling, and the parrot stayed with Krishna. So they said, Krishna, this is your nature. When you take something, you never give it back. And that is his mercy. We are praying that he takes our hearts and never gives it back. So they told Mother Jashoda, and Mother Jashoda said, Krishna, you're always playing with these animals. It is time for your bath to take prasad. And she took the parrot and gave it back. In this way, so many wonderful pastimes will take place between Radha Krishna and little Shuka. When it was time for Sri Radharani and Lord Sri Krishna to leave this world, to return to the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, they called Shuka, their little pet parrot, and said that we are going back to Goloka Vrindavan, we are leaving this material world, but you must stay back in this world. Because someone must speak the Srimad Bhagavatam for the deliverance of all living beings. Krishna Swadhamo Bhagate Dharma Jnani Dibishaha Kalona Shradrishamesha Purana Kodhanodataha. Bhagavatam explains that after Krishna left this material world to return to the spiritual world, he descended in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord. And it is the Srimad Bhagavatam that will give light in this age of Kali Yuga. And it is the Srimad Bhagavatam which is the manifestation of Krishna in this age to give pure love of God. So the parrot began to weep, began to cry. You are going and you're leaving me alone in this terrible place of birth and death. How will I survive in separation from you? And the parrot began to cry, tears coming from his eyes. And Radha Gopinathji explained to him that there is no one else that we can find who can speak Srimad Bhagavatam as well as you. So you must stay. So Sri Radha Gopinathji returned to Goloka Vrindavan. And the little parrot, Shuka, was too much in separation. So he decided, I have to hear someone reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was thinking, Lord Shankar, he's always reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. So he went to Mount Kailash, and there Lord Shiva was discussing Srimad Bhagavatam to his beloved consort, Parvati. But the first three cantos of Bhagavatam involve very deep philosophy. So during that time, Goddess Parvati fell asleep. Just like even in our class today, if we start telling philosophy, so many people fall asleep. But Shuka was sitting on a tree, unseen by anyone, and he wanted to continue hearing. So Shiva would see Parvati apparently sleeping, and he would say, are you listening? And Shuka would imitate Parvati's voice perfectly. He would say, yes, yes, very nice, very nice. And so Mahadev would continue his narration, and every now and then Shuka would say, yes, yes, very nice, very nice. In this way, Lord Shankar completed the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. He came to the end of the 12th canto. And at that time, Parvati woke up. And she said to Lord Shiva, that, oh, I was sleeping. I missed it. Did you already get to the 10th canto? Did you already discuss Krishna's Leela? Lord Shiva said, yes, of course I did. He said, well, speak it again, because I didn't hear any of it. I was sound asleep from the time of the third canto. Lord Shiva said, what do you mean you're sound asleep? I heard you saying, yes, yes, very nice, very nice. Who is that? Who else is here to say that? So Lord Shiva began to look here and there and everywhere, and he saw little parrot on the tree, the only one else around. And he was thinking, aha, parrots are expert at imitating people's voices. This parrot is an animal, unqualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. If one hears Srimad Bhagavatam unqualified and hears these esoteric confidential subject matters, then if he speaks it, he will certainly contaminate people's minds. Only a qualified person should hear Bhagavatam. Therefore, I must kill this parrot before he misuses this teaching. So he took his trident, and Shuka flew away. And Lord Shiva began to chase after him. And Shuka was flying, and he went all the way to Badrik Ashram, where Vedavyas happened to be speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to his wife. And meanwhile, Lord Shiva was fast approaching. And Vedavyas was explaining the beautiful narration of Lord Krishna's Leela. And it was so wonderful to hear that his wife was so astonished that her mouth was open wide in astonishment. And at that time, the little parrot Shuka flew into her mouth. It was hiding in her stomach. Rio! And Lord Shiva came to Badrik Ashram and he bowed down at Vyasadeva, lotus feet. He said, Pranams, Srila Vyasadeva. Did you see a parrot? I'm looking for a parrot. And Vedavyas said, why are you looking for this parrot? Because I want to kill it. Well, why do you want to kill a little parrot? He said, because he's an unqualified listener and he heard me speaking the entire 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavat. And Vedavyas said, well, what is the result of one who hears the entire 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam attentively? He says, the result is that person becomes immortal. So he said, well, if this parrot is immortal, then you're never going to be able to kill it. So why are you wasting your time? Why don't you just go back to Kailash and forget about this parrot? And Vedavyasa was very expert in presenting his arguments. So Lord Shiva said, yes, what you are saying is true. So he went back. And that little parrot remained within the womb of Vedavyasa's wife for 16 years. And on the order of Radha and Krishna, after 16 years, this great parrot who was appearing externally like a liberated soul would not leave the womb until he heard Krishna's Leela. And after 16 years, when Vedavyas began to recite Krishna's Leela, he came out as Srila Shukadev Goswami. Sri Shukadev Goswami ki! Yay! And because he was Srimati Radharani's pet parrot, the name of Sri Radharani, if he directly spoke it, it is described by Sanatan Goswami in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that he would have gone into a trance for minimum 6 months, where internally he would be absorbed in ecstatic experiences, but externally all of his senses and mind would just shut down. And Maharaj Parikshit only had 7 days until he was supposed to die. And it was Shukadev Goswami's, it was his duty to speak the entire 12 cantos of Bhagavatam within that 7 days. So for this reason, those great acharyas who understand the real significance of Bhagavatam, they know that Sri Radha and Krishna are glorified throughout it, but in an indirect way in certain cases. Not exactly indirect, actually very direct, but slightly concealed. Just like butter is concealed within milk, but you know it's there. Only those who actually have the grace of Radha and Krishna can perceive the real teachings and the real essence of Srimad Bhagavat. Prema Pumartha Mahan, which is filled with pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted love of Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavat, Shukadev Goswami explains the Raslila. And that particular Raslila is the Raslila that took place during the month of Kartik on Sharat Purnima, where Krishna met the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis under the Bamsiva tree, and had Leela in places like Seva Kunj, Nidiban, Shringarabhat, Jamuna, Chirghat. In the village that is now called Vrindavan, that is where that wonderful Leela took place. In the Gita Govinda by Jayadev Goswami, he explains another Rasleela, which was the Basanti Rasleela. The Rasleela that Krishna would perform with his devotees, the gopis, during the springtime season. And that would take place at Govardhan Hill. It is described on this night, Basant Panchami, which is considered the first day of spring, when the flowers begin to bloom and the birds begin to sing in sweet voices. At that time, Krishna, he goes to a place near Govardhan Hill, and Chandra, the Lord of the Moon, he becomes a full moon just to celebrate his descendant, Krishna, who was born in the lunar dynasties, wonderful pastimes, and to assist. And on this night, Chandra remains a full moon near Govardhan Hill for one night of Brahma, which is many millions of yugas. And therefore that place is called Chandra Sarovar, where the Basant Ras Leela takes place. And of course, what takes place in this beautiful dance of pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted love between Krishna and his gopis and Srimati Radharani is very, very high, pure subject matter. But who of us is qualified to speak it or hear it? But it is explained herein how Lord Krishna, under the excuse of fixing the flower ankle bells of Radharani, places his head upon her feet, just to show that he is eternally subordinate to the love of his devotee. And it is true. And this is the greatest opulence of Lord Krishna. How, although he is the supreme absolute truth, the cause of all causes, the source of everything that exists, everything and everyone is subordinate to Krishna, either through his internal or external energies. But yet Krishna, he humbles himself by his own free will to become the servant of his devotees. And actually, all of the beautiful pastimes of Lord Krishna are simply meant to give pleasure to his devotees. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, but his enjoyment is to serve his devotees. And his devotees' only enjoyment is to serve him. And when we speak of ras, it is a very, very high subject matter. But in essence, this is what ras means. That loving exchange between the Supreme Lord and his infinite parts and parcels. Krishna's only enjoyment is to give pleasure to his devotees, and the devotees' only enjoyment is to give pleasure to Krishna. And pure bhakti means when we have no inclination for our own pleasure. But we completely forget ourselves to give pleasure to Krishna and to give pleasure to Krishna's devotees. If Krishna dedicates his eternal existence to give pleasure to his devotees, then how much more does it please Krishna if we give pleasure to his devotees? And to the degree we relinquish our own egoistic desires for position, for name, fame, or for any physical pleasures or comforts, to that extent, we can actually taste the real sweetness of bhakti. Ye yatamam prabhadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham. According to how we approach Krishna, Krishna reveals himself accordingly to us. We find in the lives of the six Goswamis how, to such an extent, they deprived themselves of even the simplest, most basic physical needs so that they could completely immerse themselves in satisfying Radha Krishna and the devotees. Today is the appearance day of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who actually showed us more than anyone else how to enter into the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami, he would every day perform sadhana, which was so strict. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains that Raghunath Das Goswami's regulative principles were as unerasable as the lines in stone. He would chant lakhs of names of Krishna every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Minimum 2 lakhs of Krishna's names. That equals, I believe, 136 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. And he would never fail. And minimum thousands of times he would offer his prostrated obeisances to the lotus feet of the devotees, the Vaishnavas. Knowing unless he humbles himself before the Vaishnavas, all of his chanting of the holy name will have no pleasure to Krishna. And it is a fact. If we are not humble servants of the Lord's devotees, your chanting of the holy names will give no pleasure to Krishna or to Sri Radharani. It is the quality of that humility and that desire to be the servant of the servant of the servant that gives substance and spiritual quality to our chanting of Harinam. And he would also bow down in prostrated obeisances many thousands of times every day to the deity of Krishna. He worshipped the beautiful Govardhan Shila that was personally given to him by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And he was so much busy, completely immersed in this type of chanting and seva, that he simply did not have time for eating or sleeping. Some of you tonight are thinking, maybe I should go, it's getting late. But Raghunath Das Goswami, when he was absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, he never considered these things. Perhaps no one will leave early tonight. If you do, you will appear very obvious. Raghunath Das Goswami would only sleep a few hours a week. Why? because he considered that this life is meant for the service of Radha and Krishna. Why should I waste it sleeping? Srila Prabhupada explains that oversleeping is sinful. In fact, Prabhupada said oversleeping is like breaking the four regulative principles. Why? Because you're simply wasting your valuable human form of life in total ignorance. And if you oversleep, you become influenced by tamaguna, the mode of ignorance. Therefore, Krishna says, this path is not for one who eats too much or sleeps, or eats too little, or sleeps too much or sleeps too little. We should sleep what we require. And no more. If anything, a little less. Raghunath Das Goswami would sometimes sleep 1 or 2 hours a day, and sometimes he was too busy. And as far as his eating, he was so busy using his tongue to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare. And discussing the beautiful glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Radha Govindaji, that he didn't want to use his tongue for anything else. And it is described that every few days he would take just two or three drops of buttermilk. And as he would be drinking that buttermilk, he would be thinking, what a condemned, fallen sense enjoyer I am, that I'm taking all this time away from Radha Krishna Seva and Gurudev Seva just to enjoy my senses. It was this complete giving of himself, complete renunciation of anything for the service of the Lord and his devotees, that actually gives us entrance into the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. It is not that just by listening to high subjects matters like the Ras Lila that you will attain love of God. It is by following in the footsteps of Raghunath Das Goswami. If you try to imitate him, you will die. But we must follow the principle of taking what we need only to give us strength for devotional service, and to make Krishna the center of our life. It is also the appearance day of Srimati Vishnu Priya Devi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was her beloved husband, when he decided that for the sake of delivering the atheistic class of men who were too proud to listen to him, he had to take sannyas. The simple people who were good at heart, they already became his devotees. But he decided to take to the renounced order for those people who were too arrogant to hear him because he was a grihastha. He was patita pavana. He came to deliver the most fallen. And when he explained to his beloved consort, Vishnupriya, that he's going to take sannyas, she was weeping, she was crying, that I cannot live without you. I should commit suicide. You are my life, my soul, my only treasure, my only wealth. You are everything. And she was only 14 years old. But Lord Chaitanya told her that I will always be with you and within your heart, and you will always be within my heart. But all these fools and rascals, I must sacrifice even your love to give them my association and teach them how to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Ram. is the only means of their deliverance in this age of Kali Yuga. So she said, whatever makes you happy, my lord, you must do that. Let me or no one else get in the way of what pleases you. That is a pure devotee. And after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, Srimati Vishnupriya would serve the beautiful deity of Sri Gauranga, and she would chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and after every round she would put one grain of rice aside. And after all day of chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. She would take those grains of rice and she would cook them and she would offer them to the deity of Gauranga, and that's all she would take. She became emaciated. She lost her beautiful luster because she was completely engrossed in giving everything of herself for the pleasure of the Lord. Krishna consciousness is not cheap. Krishna consciousness is the most valuable treasure, and we have to pay the highest price. And what is the highest price? It has nothing to do with any monetary value of this world. We have to give our life. When the gopis of Vrindavan heard Krishna's flute and they went to meet Lord Krishna, he told them, now I see you and you see me, now you go back, your husbands are waiting and your families are waiting. They said, my lord, we have come. Previously we worshipped you by giving flowers and by giving fruits, but tonight, you see, we have nothing in our hands. We have come to give you the supreme offering. We have come to give you our very lives. This is our offering. Will you kindly accept it? Krishna cannot refuse a devotee who gives their life. And that is the price for love of Krishna. And nothing less. What does it mean to give our life? It means to simply Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyajim namaskuru mame vaishashi satyam te prati jani priyoshime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. We give our lives by following the process of Krishna consciousness, which begins with sadhu sangha, by associating devotees. And in that association, we hear about Krishna. And we learn to chant his holy names. And we learn how to serve the deity and serve the devotees and serve the guru, the spiritual master. We learn how to utilize all of our senses in Krishna's service. We learn how to dovetail everything we do for Krishna. Whether we are grihastas or brahmacharis or vanaprastas or sannyasis. But the most important beginning is through the association of devotees we develop shraddha, we develop faith. Without that faith, nothing else we do in Krishna consciousness has any significance. And when we associate with materialistic people, our faith is diminished. Therefore, we must regularly have sadhu satsang. It is must. And with that faith, we hear the glories of the Lord. And most of all, we learn the process of chanting his holy names. Trinarapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnana, amanana manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Our goal in life is not to be advanced devotees. Our goal of life is to be more humble than a blade of grass. To be more tolerant than the tree. Our goal in life is that day when we desire no recognition from anyone else and we want to offer all respect to others. That is our goal. Because in that state of mind, Kirtaniya Sadahari, we can always chant the holy names. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. That in this age of Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way except Harinam, 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 chanting of the name of Hari. And he particularly took this verse from the Brihadnaradiya Purana. There are many other verses in other scriptures which explain that the chanting of the holy name is the only way in this age of Kali. Kalera dosini de raja nasti heka mahanguna kirtana reva krishnasya mukta sangha parambrajai nama sankirtanam yaksya sarva papa pranashanam pranamo dukha samanastham namami harim param. There are innumerable verses glorifying the name of Krishna as the only process in this age of Kali. But this particular verse, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatiranyata. Mahaprabhu specially stressed this because there is so much stress given in this verse. Everyone together. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatiranyata. And of all the names of Krishna, of all mantras, the most powerful, the most intimate, and the most sweet is the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This Mahamantra can neutralize all sins and awaken our original natural love of God. More greater than any other process in this yuga of Kali. Hare is the name of Srimati Radharani, the eternal pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is Krishna who is all attractive. And Rama is Sri Radharaman, the enjoyer of Srimati Radharani, and one who gives pleasure to Srimati Radharani. In Vrindavan, other sampradayas and Brijvasis, they chant the mantra, Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Shyam Shyam, Radhe Radhe. Everybody. Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Shyam Shyam, Radhe Radhe. Some people, they feel that actually these mantras are in one sense non-different. But Radha Krishna, this Yugala Maha Mantra, is more direct. Because some people really don't know what Hare means. But when you say Radhe, everyone knows who is Radhe. And similarly, Rama, some people say that Rama is Balaram, or Rama is Parasaram, or Rama is Dasarathi Nandan Ramchandra of Ayodhya. So why not the Yugala Mantra? Because it is very direct and specific. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose this Hare Krishna Mahamantra? And the reason is very important. And if you understand this, you will have very deep appreciation for the Mahamantra. You see, according to the Shastra, there is a rule that when something is presented in an indirect way, it actually has more intimacy and sweetness than when you do it in a direct way. Rama means one whose life is utterly surrendered to giving pleasure to his divine pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. That is the meaning of Rama, as Lord Chaitanya chanted it. Shama means Krishna who has a beautiful blackish complexion. And Hare comes from the word Hara, which comes from the word Harana. which means one who steals. There's a beautiful mantra. Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, and Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu explain this word, Harana, means that it is Sri Radharani who steals the heart of Krishna. And Hare is the calling out of Radharani, who has that devotional power to steal the heart of Krishna. And Krishna is that one who steals the hearts of all living beings. So when we are calling out the name Hare, we are praying to the Divine Mother, the supreme reservoir of all bhakti. And when she favors us, the Goswamis explain, when she favors us, then because she steals the heart of Krishna, Prabhupada said, when she says, Krishna, look at what nice devotee this person is, then Radha and Krishna, they steal our heart. When we were in Kurukshetra, actually calling out the supreme most names of God. And when we chant the Maha Mantra, the names which are non-different than Radha and Krishna, they are actually awakening our natural love for the Lord within our hearts. It is said that the heart has to become soft like butter before Krishna wants to steal it. But first we have to make our hearts into butter. How do we do that? Through the process of churning. When you churn the cream through satsang, our heart becomes like cream. And through Harinam, it is like churning that cream. Chanting japa and kirtan is like churning our hearts to make it into nice soft butter. And you have seen how they churn butter. They go like this. This is the motion. They have a stick and they have a rope and they go back and forth like this. And similarly, when we are chanting japa on our beads, it is the same motion. Huh? When we finger our beads like this and we churn with the mantra, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. And through chanting the Maha Mantra regularly, through japa, through kirtan, gradually we churn our hearts and make it into nice soft butter in which Radharani and Krishna, they will steal the soft heart for their own enjoyment. And that is our goal of life, to make our hearts, our minds, our everything simply so delicious for Radha and Krishna and the devotees to enjoy. So tonight is Basant Panchami. And what is the greatest way we can give pleasure to Radha and Krishna? What is the greatest way we can assist them in their wonderful pastimes? By learning to be the servant of the servant and glorify them through the process of chanting their holy names. At this time, there will be a wonderful darshan of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Everyone, with great feeling and great devotion, kindly cry out the holy names of Krishna.